Sean Patrick Maloney, I may get more mail on so-called superdelegates than anything else. It's like the chemtrails thing or the implosion of the World Trade Center. The superdelegates are somehow going to sway the Democratic will. What do you make of all of that?
Well, I think you're seeing the kind of frustration that happens in a contested primary process where one person's winning and one person is losing. And I know some of the supporters of Sanders are frustrated that the voters are choosing another candidate. And this is the kind of silly stuff you hear.
Just for a second, give us a primer on the superdelegates. Are you a superdelegate?
I am a superdelegate. All that means is that as part of the rules of the Democratic Party and the nominating process, there are elected officials, for the most part elected officials, who have a role as a delegate at the convention. That's mm-hmm. all it means. So, you know, the people have elected me, the party has nominated me, and so in addition to the delegates that are chosen as part of the primary voting, some of us, and mostly elected officials, have a role as a delegate as well. That's all it means. And in this case, that group of people, you know, is supporting one candidate over another, and so there's some questioning of that. But it's a very routine thing, and okay. It's existed for a long time.
Okay, just
let me just back up, Alan. I think I would as we come to the end of the primary process, and as we are coming together around Secretary Clinton as the Democratic candidate, I think it's very important to reflect on how Secretary Clinton handled this when she was the losing candidate. When she was losing this process 8 years ago to Barack Obama, what she did and her supporters did was they went into the convention and Secretary Clinton nominated Senator Obama to be the unanimous choice of the convention. She suspended her own campaign. She understood that the voters chose someone else, and she stopped long enough to realize that that person was a brilliant, energetic, progressive, and interesting candidate for president. And she threw in with him, and then went so far as to join his administration and work for his success. That's how a losing candidate should behave, it seems to me, if they respect the will of the voters in a fair process. And that's what I would hope we'll see from Senator Sanders.
Okay, that's good. So let me talk to you about an interesting, more local thing, and that is you want to take Donald Trump's name off the state park in Westchester and Putnam counties. You got anybody else in mind?
Yeah, I think we should name it after Pete Seeger, but I'd take anybody not named Trump. How about that?
Do you think this is a cheap political shot on your part, and nobody would rather see it named after Pete Seeger more than I would? But
Well, listen, I don't believe the public had any say in how this park was named. I, for one, don't believe Donald Trump is someone we should be putting up monuments to in New York or anywhere else. This is a person whose short time in public life has been defined by, you know, railing against vulnerable populations, you know, whipping up fear against immigrants, against people with a different religion, saying incendiary things about women, making fun of people with disabilities. I mean, this is just awful stuff. And if you want to say that there's a place for that in our politics, well, maybe that's what we've come to. But I don't think we should be putting up monuments to guys who engage in that sort of stuff. And that's all I'm saying. Like, why do we want to be celebrating this person who has done nothing but coarsen and muddy up what's left of our kind of conversation on the national political level about important issues? I just think I couldn't think of anybody I'd rather celebrate less than Donald Trump.
What has to happen here is this isn't a matter for Congress to decide, right?
This is a state matter. But interestingly, even Governor Pataki, who agreed to name the park after Donald Trump, has said he regrets it. Has said he wishes he didn't. So much for it being a political trick or a partisan game. I mean, the former Republican governor who agreed to name this thing Donald Trump Park now regrets it and wishes he hadn't. So I think you're seeing pretty broad agreement on this. And I can tell you, I don't know anybody in this part of the world where I represent folks who want to be putting up monuments to Donald Trump or any other politician for that matter right now. I mean, the fact of the matter is the public didn't have a say in this. Most of us think his values and his rhetoric are offensive. And we can do better than that. And we got a great local hero we lost just in the last year or so, named Pete Seeger. And there's a lot of other great New Yorkers and great Americans we could memorialize before we start putting up monuments to Donald Trump.
You know, Pete is, of course, my greatest all-time hero and a big friend of this radio station. But I have to ask you, he once was talking about the Clearwater, and he said, you know, as soon as people gather by the side of the river and agree on something, they're doing politics. So when you say politician, even Pete was a politician.
Look. The problem is not that we participate in our common, you know, project here called democracy. That's politics in a healthy way.
Small
the problem is when all we do is play political games, or all we do is play partisan politics for partisan advantage, instead of looking out for the good of all of our people, our communities. And, you know, we need to stop putting our individual ambitions and our individual, you know, Democratic and Republican priorities ahead of our country. And if you, that's why I'm working so hard across the aisle. That's why I work with all these Republican local elected officials, because that's how I get things done. And guess what? Almost everybody I work with, you know, I find out is just as committed as I am, really wants to do something in their public service, really wants to make a difference. And a lot of us are held back by this political nonsense we all have to do, all the fundraising, all the games that get played. We need to work together again. We've been through a long generational process of degrading our politics and running into these ideological corners, watching only news we agree with. We all need to stop it. We all have a responsibility to come back together and build something positive. And I hope we see more of that.
We only have 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you about how you're doing on rail safety.
We're doing a lot on rail safety, and I was glad to see the governor make a major announcement about eliminating dangerous grade crossings. I passed several pieces of legislation into law just in the last couple of months in the Congress that will make a big difference. First, there's about a $300 million grant program that will come online as a result of my legislation that will allow local communities to make grade crossings safer. So if you're down at the Reader's Digest, the old Reader's Digest building down there off the sawmill, that community, Newcastle, wants to redo that grade crossing, they should be able to get help from the federal government to do it. We've had a terrible accident in Valhalla. That's one thing we're doing. I've also arranged for the faster implementation of technologies, principally positive train control, that will stop runaway trains and prevent derailments, like the one we saw in Spuyten Duyvil and the terrible Amtrak crash we had in Philadelphia. Those should never happen. They can never be allowed to happen again. We can prevent it with technology. It also applies, by the way, to the oil trains we have in the Hudson Valley, which can benefit from the same technology. And we're also doing a lot more just to have better railroad practices, just to make sure trains slow down at dangerous curves. You know, they don't change one day to the next. It's a defined set of track. We know where the dangerous curves are. Just by common sense procedures and better training and better protocols, we can prevent accidents. We're also doing things to train up our first responders better, to make sure that the cars that carry dangerous materials are made more safely, are jacketed up by materials that will prevent them from exploding if they derail. We're doing a lot on rail safety, and we're also trying to make riding the train cheaper for folks by reinstating the commuter tax benefit for people who ride Metro North every day to the city. So I'm proud of what we've been able to get done in just the last couple months on rail.
Sean Patrick Maloney, always great to talk to you. Can't wait till the next round when we get to talk to you for a couple of days. Sean Patrick Maloney is a Democrat. He's a congressman, New York's 18th district, in office since 2013. Sean, once again, our gratitude for your coming around.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Thanks a lot.